Very good morning and welcome to Scott's Church. If you will, please remain standing if you can. We're going to have our annual Anzac Day observance led by Colonel Richard Nissel.
Our King and Saviour Jesus Christ once said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And for over 103,000 Australian soldiers, sailors and aviators, that is exactly what they have done for us and our nation over the past century. In Gallipoli, France, Palestine, Africa, Papua New Guinea, Singapore, the Thai-Burma Rail, in Korea, Malaya, Vietnam, Timor, Iraq and Afghanistan, young Australian men and women have selflessly sacrificed their hopes, their health, their dreams, their future, their lives, to bring security, democracy, prosperity and freedom to our nation. On Anzac Day, we do not celebrate valiant victory, but rather we commemorate the sacrifice of those who have given their lives for us. The symbol of sacrifice of these young men and women is adorned upon the walls of our church. If you look to your left and your right, you will see the regimental colours of old infantry battalions that represent the sacrifice of the soldiers that have fought for us. They also remind those who continue to serve today to do so with courage, selflessness, dedication, and compassion. As Christians, we serve and follow another who has sacrificed his life so that we may have life, peace, and reconciliation. We ask our Lord Jesus to bring peace to this world, to strengthen those who serve our nation in the military, to comfort the families who have lost loved ones during their service, and to bless our nation's leaders with wisdom in the hope that future conflict can be avoided. As we commemorate those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, we recall an old poem, by Lawrence Binyon. He published this poem in September 1914, only 7 weeks after the commencement of the Great War, but at a time when thousands of young men were being killed for our freedom. Binyon wrote, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them, lest we forget." We will now observe 1 minute silence. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Now hear the call to worship. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Let us stand and sing our first hymn, Father, We Praise You. Again, a very warm welcome to Scots Church this morning to those who are here in person and live streaming. If you are new to Scots, please introduce yourself to someone. Someone should also talk to you. You'll find a card with a lot of faces on it in the pew. You can scan that. You can fill that out. We'd love to hear from you and be in touch and find out what your needs are, and it's great to have you here. Everyone is, of course, welcome afterwards in the mezzanine level of the Westpac building after the service for tea and coffee and refreshments as well. Our midweek small groups resume this week on Tuesday and only Tuesday. If you come at 6 o'clock, you can pray. If you come at 6:30, you can eat. And if you come at 7, you can come just for the Bible study. We tend to wrap up by 8 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to that. Next week's service is a special one. The Scots Church Choir and Melbourne Baroque Orchestra will present Cantata No. 4, Christ Lay in Death's Dark Prison. Everyone is also welcome to that. Lastly, Phil and Louise Campbell are on leave, and they will return in several weeks' time, the 10th of May, so you won't see them for quite a few weeks, and you'll be seeing a little bit extra of us. Lastly, Kids Church resumes this week. I'll make an announcement about that later, but let us sing, Come, Let Us to the Lord Our God. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, not a hair falls from our head without you knowing. Not a day goes by that you do not see and know, not a night passes without the sovereign preservation of the Lord. You are good, O Lord, and your truth endures forever. There are many dark clouds in our past, Father, and many dark clouds to come, which we unfortunately know. The things that trouble our hearts are many. Many are our sorrows, our needs, our fears, and our worries. But many, O God, are your mercies. What wonderful news is this, that you love and defend us, that your mercies are new every morning, that the time to trust you is now. Hear us when we call, O Lord, and answer us in your mercy. Amen. We pray together as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. During our next hymn, we take up an offering. Some of you give online. If you don't give online, this is an opportunity to join the rest of Scots in Financial Partnership. Now, if you're visiting or are new, there is no obligation to give. You are very welcome to if you'd like. Children and teens are very welcome to join Grace and Bawanica in the back for Kids Church. Now, let us otherwise sing, O Lord, Thou art my God.
Please be seated. Let's pray. God of love and liberty, we are grateful for sending your Son Jesus to die for us so we may live. We thank you for the peace and security we enjoy daily and for providing us with all that we need. We ask that you help us remember the sacrifice of the first Anzacs, Australians, and the New Zealanders, as well as the generations of men and women who have lost their lives in the pursuit of liberty and peace. Loving God, thank you for your mercy and grace, and help us honor those who have given their lives by striving for a better world. We pray for those who bear the physical and mental scars and disabilities of their service, that you would grant them strength, courage, and peace. And we pray for eternal rest for those who served and sacrificed for their country. God of love and peace, we ask for your mercy and protection for all those suffering from wars, homelessness, being refugees and loss of loved ones. Please comfort and strengthen Christians facing hardship and remind them of your never-ending love and mercies. And thank you for your faithfulness, O mighty God. We pray for peace in Ukraine, in Russia, the Middle East, in Sudan, in Myanmar, and especially in our own country, in the wake of recent stabbing attacks in New South Wales. We pray for your blessings of peace and love upon our nation and the world. Heavenly Father, thank you for empowering your church on earth with love, unity, and peace. And bless all church leaders to serve humbly and help us set aside differences and focus on the cause of Christ. And grant Reverend Justin Ang and Reverend Arthur Kiefer strength, wisdom, and clarity as they preach today at Scotts and Scotts City this afternoon. And bless their ministry, health, and family, we ask. Loving God, we pray for our senior minister, Reverend Phil, and his wife, Louise Campbell, who are currently on leave. We pray for a safe and enjoyable break, and may they be surrounded by your presence and peace throughout their holidays. God of all power, thank you for protecting your church on it, its leaders, congregations, as well as at Scots ministers, visitors and staff from hostile attacks. And help your people and help us to love one another as you have loved us. Our divine healer, Lord Jesus Christ, please comfort and heal those struggling with mental health issues, loneliness, unemployment, and life crisis. And we also pray for the sick in our church community. We remember Stuart Banks, Margaret Young, Dennis Conradi, Wayne Truong, and others. May they find peace and comfort in your Son, Jesus. We pray for their caregivers to receive strength and wisdom and peace. And now, loving God, bless our tithes and offerings as we strive to build a world of peace, joy, and freedom, that you would guide us in our work and prayer towards this goal. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen.
Rejoice, O ye righteous, for it cometh to the Lord.
The second Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you, that we may cry out to you in our pain, and learn to trust in your goodness to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, since moving to Melbourne, Rachel and I have had the pleasure of hosting family and friends at our place, and they've come for all sorts of reasons. We've had Australian Open friends, we've had Taylor Swift friends, we've had church friends, we've even had Madeleine friends, those French cakes. They've come for Madeleines. But we've enjoyed every single one of those guests as they've stayed with us. Because it's in those moments where you're talking at the table over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, when you start to share serious things, where you start to talk about what's really on your heart. I remember with one friend, they shared about the loss of a close friend in their life. And it was confronting to hear that. But we all have stories like that, because living in our world isn't perfect. We all experience stories of difficulties, stories of loss, stories filled with grief, stories of suffering, stories where you feel overwhelmed with the pain in the world, stories where life is out of control, where there is absolute chaos and the chaos overwhelms. And you wonder, where is God? Does he care? Is he even listening? Will he do something? How do you live in the gap? The gap between helplessness and hope. The gap between your pain and God's promises. The gap between chaos and order. The gap between crisis and redemption. Where you're waiting for God to save you, to change your circumstances. Today we're commencing a sermon series on lament, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. An opportunity to learn how to live in the gap. We'll be looking at four different psalms over the next 4 weeks, in order that we might learn to lament. What is lament? Christian author Mark Vergop defines it this way. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. A prayer in pain that leads to trust. We learn to talk to God in our pain that we may learn to trust. Lament is God's gift to his people, for you and for me. There are 150 Psalms in the Bible, and of those 150, more than one-third of them contain lament, where the psalmist cries out to God in pain. Isn't that incredible? It is so real and it is honest. So let's have a look at Psalm 77 this morning, and we will be confronted by how real the psalmist is with God and how the psalmist deals with his pain and with the chaos that is around. Let's have a look at Psalm 77. Because it is clear the psalmist is going through a story of crisis. We're not told specifically what they're going through, but the struggle is real. You can feel the pain, heartbreak in this psalm, the difficulty, the confusion, a situation that will not resolve, a crisis that has no answer. The psalmist is in pain, but notice where he turns to, or rather, who he turns to. Verse 1. I cry aloud to God. The psalmist turns to God, and it sets the tone for the rest of the psalm. Notice how many times he turns to God in this psalm, just in the first 6 verses. I cry aloud to God. I seek the Lord. My hand is stretched out. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God. I moan, I meditate, my spirit faints, my eyelids are kept by God from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, I remember the years of long ago. I commune with my heart, I meditate and search my spirit. Here we see the psalmist refuses to be quiet, refuses to be silent. He keeps turning to God in prayer. He keeps turning his heart to God. He keeps throwing himself to God by talking to him. Sometimes I'm a bit of a klutz around the house, and Rachel will tell you that I sometimes bump into walls. I forget that I have shoulders. I forget that I have arms. I'll bump my head. And the worst thing is when I stub my toe on the wall or on the kitchen table or the bed frame. Do you know what I say when I stub my toe? I'll tell you what I don't say. I don't say, "Oh, Rachel, it appears that I've stubbed my toe, and I'm in quite a lot of distress." And I don't keep quiet. No. I cry out. I say, "Ow!" A heartfelt, messy "ow!" because I'm in pain. On the one hand, we make the mistake of turning to ourselves. We tell no one. We tell ourselves, "Open the can of concrete and harden up." Or we keep a stiff upper lip. But silence kills us from the inside out. And it's why sometimes the greatest gift we can give to someone is a listening ear, to allow another to have a voice. And on the other hand, we make the mistake of turning to everyone, anyone, except for God. We turn to our family, we turn to our friends, we turn to our pets, we turn to Google, ChatGPT. ChatGPT, save me. You know, telling others helps, but often they don't know what to do to help us. And their comments can often worsen things. But the psalmist teaches us to turn to the Lord, to not be afraid to cry out to him. It's what the Jews did when they were exiled into Babylon. they cried aloud to God in lament, crying because Jerusalem was destroyed and they were dispersed. God gives his people lament in order that we might learn to trust him. And the first step we need to do to lament is to keep turning to God in prayer. Notice how the psalmist is not afraid of being vulnerable, raw, honest, and real. In fact, have a look at how honest he is at the questions that many would dare not ask of God. Just consider the six questions he asks in verses 7 to 9. Will the Lord spurn forever? Will he never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? These are not rhetorical questions. These are daring questions. Questioning God's steadfast love, his compassion, his graciousness. According to one commentator, these are three of Israel's most precious covenantal words. They go to the heart, the very character of God's relationship with Israel. It's confronting, isn't it? To hear the psalmist bring such serious doubts to God. Justin, is it possible for God's people to bring such questions? Well, this psalm was sung in the temple by God's people. It's a psalm for the individual, but it's also a communal psalm, a psalm for God's people. And the point that the psalm makes is this: it is important to bring your honest pain, your honest questions to God. In the chaos, it is important to continue crying out to him, to keep turning to prayer. Sometimes on our days off, we go to cafes, and it's interesting to watch parents with their children, especially when they are young, the kids, not the parents. And you watch the kids talk to the parents. Mum, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? And they keep turning up, don't they? Mum, Mum. Maybe you were like that when you were young. But children keep turning up. They keep persisting. And like children who keep talking with their parents, we need to keep talking with God about our struggles, our pain, our chaos, our crisis. Can I respectfully ask, what would it look like for you to turn to God in your pain? For you to not remain silent. Maybe you've decided to give up talking to God. Perhaps today is the day to bring your struggles, to bring the deepest questions that you have to him, to tell him what you honestly feel, and to keep turning up. But I want to say that lament isn't just talking, it's a movement. And we'll see that over the next few weeks. Remember the definition of lament? Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Moving from pain to trust. Moving from hurt to hope. And that's what we see here in verse 10. We see a movement in the psalmist. Have a look. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. What is the psalmist doing here? He's moving. There's a change from me and I to you, God, to you. In fact, it's the first time that he speaks aloud to himself and he declares that he will hope in God. Because of what God has done in the years past, he will remember the mighty works of the Lord, when God was gracious, when God showed his faithfulness, when God showed his compassion. Have a look, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. The psalmist moves from pain to hope by remembering God's character, remembering how God acted in days of old. The psalmist is on the lookout for grace, God, that God has shown him in the past. I once heard the story of a college lecturer of mine. His daughter decided to keep a list of 10,000 reasons why she could give thanks to God. She wrote it in her journal. It was her way to look out for God's grace, faithfulness, and compassion and graciousness in her life. And I kid you not, she has been working her way to 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. I think about Rachel, I think about the way that God has been gracious to Rachel and me in the last 6 months. The provision of a job for her here in Melbourne. For me here at Scott's, God's faithfulness in providing accommodation at a week's notice. The way that our families have been there for us. God's faithfulness each and every day. His mercies are new every morning. Despite the chaos, we can choose to look for stories of grace in our lives. So let me ask, are you on the lookout for God's grace in your life? What stories can you tell of God's personal love towards you? In what ways has God been gracious, where he has turned chaos into order, heartbreak into hope, where there has been light at the end of the tunnel? But notice that the psalmist ultimately remembers something very specific at the end of this psalm. The ultimate story. Have a look at verse 16 and ask yourself, what is he recalling? When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Do you recognize the story that the psalmist is reflecting on? It's the Exodus, where chaos moved to order for the Israelites. Where they were in slavery in Egypt, they cried out and God heard, and God brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. The psalmist is remembering Israel's movement from crisis to redemption, where pain moved to God's promises, the moment that defined Israel as a nation. Remembering God's grace and faithfulness to him, putting his own life into perspective. And for the psalmist, it reminds him that he is part of a bigger, more important story where God promised to be with his people. Surely God will be faithful to him in the future. That's what the psalmist is remembering. What about you? What are you to remember? What's our Exodus story? Well, when Jesus was on the mountain with his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, he talks to Moses and Elijah. We're told in Luke's account of the event that Jesus talks to Moses and Elijah about his departure. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. The word there for departure literally means exodus in the Greek. Jesus speaks of his exodus through his death and resurrection, where he would bring his people out from the chaos of death into the order of life, bringing you and me out of crisis into redemption, from heartbreak to hope, from slaves to freedom in Christ, the moment that defines who we are. And it puts your life into perspective because you realize that you are part of a bigger, greater story. As you look to Jesus, you see God saving you. So surely he will be faithful in your day of trouble. Isn't that amazing news? Something to keep remembering. It's what we do at Easter, don't we? Where Arthur preached on Easter Sunday. We keep coming back to it year and year and year again. To remember the Easter story. But it's also what we remember each and every Sunday as we gather. Remembering what Jesus has done in the past so that we might have hope for the future. May we never forget. But there's one more question I had to ask. And as I read Psalm 77, it occurred to me, does the Lord help the psalmist's day of trouble? We're not told, are we? By the end of the psalm, we're simply not told. In fact, Psalm 77 is part of Book 3 of the Psalms, which is filled with lament, questioning God's faithfulness. Many of these psalms don't end with a change of circumstances. And that's not the point. Here's the point. When we keep turning to God, when we learn to lament well, there is no guarantee that our circumstances will change. But our hearts will. Our hearts will. My wife Rachel was diagnosed with lupus when she was a teenager. And if you don't know what that is, it's an autoimmune illness that cannot be cured. So she continues to suffer, continues to struggle, and that'll be the case for the rest of her life. But for her, lament has changed her heart and her perspective. So let me finish here by asking, as you face the chaos in your life, with the pain that you have, will you keep turning to him in prayer? Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, this life is not easy. We're faced with stories of suffering and struggles, and yet you give us the good gift of lament. Teach us to turn to you, and turn to you first. Not to our friends or family first, although they are good things. Help us to turn to you and to keep turning to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond by singing, "Now Thank We All Our God." Thanks for joining us here in person and on the live stream. For those who are here, please join us for refreshments in the Westpac building on the mezzanine floor. Let me give you the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.